Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Higher Dimensions. I'm Phyllis Pricer, your hostess on BBS Radio, your internet radio for the spiritual, the higher dimension, the unknown, and the great universal wonders. And today I have a very, very special guest, a beautiful lady that is a teacher and a healer, and I'm a great admirer of her, Miss Patty Conklin.
Hi, Phyllis.
Hi, darling. How are you?
I'm doing wonderful, thank you. How about yourself?
Oh, well, we could talk about that later. I had a little back upset today, but things are turning around.
We are. Great.
But other than that, I am glorious. How's weather up by you? We got hit with some real spring storms today.
You know, it's been a beautiful day today. It was so cold here in Georgia for over Easter, but today it finally hit 70, so I was happy.
Well, send it up, please. We're still freezing our little flowers off.
No problem.
And we had a whale of a line of thunderstorms go through.
Yeah.
You know, much sound and fury, but not a whole lot left behind, except a lot of noise.
Right.
Anyway, I'm going to ask you to just, you know, open yourself up and talk about whatever it is you want to, and I'll just go along for the ride and have fun.
Oh, my goodness. You're opening up a wide range of things. You know, I think for me, Phyllis, in just watching people and watching life and seeing all that I see, I think it's just, you know, we just keep coming back to the space of unconditional, you know, of just what is this life really? And for me, it's just particles that vibrate. You know, that's how I see human beings, and that's how I see all of creation.
And ladies and gentlemen, I want you to understand when she says that, take it literally. She's not just saying it as a metaphor. This is how the world appears to her, how her vibrations are so high. Literally, that's what she sees. Go ahead.
That's what I see, and there's no off switch, and it's just kind of there all the time. And you know, when I teach, people will say, well, how many angels are in the room? And I'll say, I don't know how many of you are in the room until you speak to me and kind of condense those frequencies a little bit so I can distinguish a shape standing in front of me.
Right.
But, you know, I think that when we look at illness and disease, I mean, I look at a lot of people with spiritual issues or emotional or physical issues. And, you know, it really comes down to understanding that everything in your body is just particles that vibrate.
Yeah.
And so when you feel like you have a disease process or an emotional process, what you really have are particles that are vibrating at a different frequency than other particles in your body. And that's it.
That makes sense.
It's that simple. And so if you can take it down to a very simple core, it's simply getting the different particles in your body vibrating at a uniform frequency. And you do that by not only clearing out the cellular memory in your body, that's critical, but also really looking at how are you living your life.
Exactly.
And, you know, if you're having a down day, you know, how do you view it? And it's really looking at life itself is meaningless. When we were given life, we weren't given meaning. And so every event we have in our life, we choose the meaning to the event. And as we choose the meaning to the event, we have to take responsibility for our reactions. There's nobody walking the earth that can make you angry or make you feel loved. Those are emotions that you choose at the time of the event.
Right.
Yeah.
That's very, very true. And I think it, in a way, ennobles us and really provides us, I think, with a far grander scale of beings, of who we are, that we have this capability that exists for us.
Absolutely.
Because it takes away the poor me and the victim.
Right.
And I say ennobles us because it allows us to hold our heads up high and say, I am, after that great philosopher, I am that I am. Good old Popeye.
Good old Popeye. But it's very true.
For me, it is noble.
Yes. It's something we constantly have to look at. I mean, duality exists, and you know, we don't know how good we can be until we understand how bad we can be. And it's why we go through this fluctuation of emotions, you know, mm-hmm. to really get into our deepest, darkest despair, so we understand how to blossom as that incredible flower.
Now, you said something very, very profound, mm-hmm. and I want to go back to it, okay?
Okay.
I'm not going to let you slide by.
You go ahead.
One of the things that's so, is so prevalent is saying, you know, it's God's will when, excuse the expression, shit happens.
Uh-huh, exactly.
Okay? Now, what you are saying is this. It's almost what Edgar Casey said, but a little different way. He said, what are love and hate but the two different sides of a same coin?
Absolutely.
And what you said just then struck me, because we wonder, how can people be so hateful?
Yeah.
How can such bad occur? And what you have said, if I may try to paraphrase it, is that in learning the extent of what we go away from the light, go away from our pattern or habit, that our free will, if you will, to walk away from the light, the good, the that which is highest, that we only know how good we are by exploring the depths of how far we can leave the light behind.
Absolutely.
Now, that is profound, because it gives an expression of meaning and understanding to the evil that we, if we would want to call it that, the upheaval is perhaps a better word.
Yeah.
That is going on in this world.
The chaos.
The chaos.
The
that
chaos.
People are exploring.
Sure.
The heights and depths.
Absolutely.
Their souls can reach.
And somewhere in there is balance.
Yeah, and somewhere, and even if they lose their lives.
That's right.
In this imbalance, they learn so that it is not repeated, hopefully,
right.
or until they learn it, in other lifetimes. Is that
Absolutely.
Correct?
Absolutely. It's understanding that how we're acting out emotionally and as a human doesn't necessarily indicate what our soul is actually going through. Our soul is going through
right.
this learning process. And the thing is, Phyllis, if we had 20 people in a room and all of us were really good people, saintly people,
right.
you know, just incredibly saintly people,
yes. Yes.
eventually we'd start comparing each other and we'd say, well, you're a little bit more good than this person, but this person's a little bit more good than Sally over in the corner. And we'd start our own hierarchy of, this is good, I'm really good, and you're just good.
Yeah.
And because it's how we learn to qualify things. It's how we learn to understand. If we're looking at a sunrise
mm-hmm.
and we have no ability to think and no ability to speak, all we can do is see, then it's simply a sunrise. It's our word, it's our thought that actually qualifies it into something more than a sunrise. But the reality is, it's simply a sunrise.
Right.
So if we equate that into our life to understand that we have to be able to qualify what's happening, and we can only do that by experiencing the duality of everything. If a young child looks at a hot stove
mm-hmm.
and
not
just
knowing.
Simply looks at it and doesn't touch it, they don't understand it's hot. It's until they get close to it and start to feel the heat that they understand heat, that they understand that it's something that's hot.
Yes.
But if they don't have that experience, then they don't understand. And
exactly.
and it's really why we're going through so much chaos in the world, and why we're going through you know, such major events throughout the last 10 years of people calling for, you know, world prayer days and world peace days.
Mm-hmm.
More and more people are participating, but what they don't stop and think about is duality must exist. So as many people who are going
mm-hmm.
to do a world peace day and pray for everybody, chaos has to come into balance at the same level.
Now, isn't that interesting?
Has to. Because whether you are creating a day of world peace, what you're really doing is judging that we're not in peace.
That's very true.
And
That's
so
very
for
true.
Those who are in chaos are then bringing to the forefront that we're not in peace.
So the next question is people are going to say, well, what you mean? We shouldn't pray. Mm-hmm. We shouldn't try to be in bad. We shouldn't try to do good to our fellow neighbors and provide love and care.
That's right. Forget your fellow neighbor. Work on yourself. I mean, that's the thing. That's what's so harming sometimes when we have our prayer days or we feel like we need to pray for the neighbor. What we're saying is I'm making a judgment call that something's wrong, and I'm not looking at my own stuff. I'm keeping my focus outside of myself on world events and everything else, but I'm not cleaning my own house.
What if your neighbor says, would you say a prayer for me?
Then you say, you know what, thank you so much for experiencing everything that they need to experience. You know, thank you so much, God, Creator, Goddess, whoever.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you so much for allowing my neighbor to experience the perfection of everything they need to learn.
Mm-hmm.
But as soon as you say, dear whoever, mm-hmm. please, my neighbor's not feeling well, please make her feel better, then what I'm saying is, hey, you know what? You're not listening to what's happening with my neighbor, and I need to redirect your attention. It's incredibly arrogant when you really look at it.
Well, you know, I was creeping up on that arrogance from another source by looking at it, and this may be a little bit more I don't know what the word to you. I don't want to quantify it, but let me put it this way. I was looking at the way some people look at religion and say, my religion is better than yours, or that the way I pray is better than yours, or
sure.
so forth. And I'm thinking, well, you know, and the way people have always tried to fight wars, not
sure.
always, but justifying it through their particular religious standards. And I'm thinking to myself, what arrogance is it that the good Lord, the Creator, the Supreme Being, whomever, would need us
exactly
to go kick somebody else's buns? I mean, if he was the Supreme
attention.
Creator, would he really need me or you or a bunch of armies to come and kick a collective butts of somebody else?
And that's right.
He wouldn't.
He would.
I mean, it's arrogance on our part to assume that, and then if that's true, then he is not the Supreme Being. He's not.
Exactly.
He's not what they say he is.
Exactly. And it comes right back to individual belief systems.
Yes.
Of what is truly your belief. If you believe that you have to pray for someone else in order for them to be healthy, then what you're really saying is, I don't trust that you really understand what's going on down here.
Well, yeah.
You know? And so I keep coming back to clean up your own house.
Right.
You know, so many people, I mean, you know, throughout the centuries, you know, as long as they're in church on Sunday, they feel like they have a free rein to be nasty or mean to other people during the rest of the week.
Well, you know, that's the other thing that I've always called the hypocrisy of the church. In some ways, is people go to church, pay tithes and everything else, and then go and can, by their own misinterpretation or feeling justified or righteously indignant, can get somebody fired.
Exactly. Exactly.
And yet they feel righteous in what they do. And it's, to me, I find it sad,
yeah.
in a way, that there is such God within, and then they immediately, you know, throw a blanket over him.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It makes absolutely no sense. And so it doesn't, you know, we always want to look at the big world picture, but we really have to bring it down into a simplification of what is it that we need for
world.
Me, myself, and I.
Right. My
yeah.
personal world.
Exactly.
And
exactly.
when we do that, let people know what happens when you finally realize that you reach out for yourself and to love and take care of yourself. What happens when you reach that inner balance?
What happens when we reach that?
To your world.
Well, I think that what happens is when we reach out for ourselves,
yeah.
and really work through that,
yeah.
you find a serenity. That no matter what's yeah. taking place externally around you, you find a serenity
that
is just incredibly profound.
That's it. That's
you know?
what I was trying to get
And that's
to.
What we're searching for.
Yes.
And it's what's so important. You know, it's just mm-hmm. so important to understand that we have to work on ourselves. And, you know, and it's not about what's taking place with our neighbor. It's
right.
not about what's taking place in Iraq. It's not about anything else other than us. And the thing is, what people need to understand is the more that we are at peace, the more that we personally are at peace, that
right.
serenity is what permeates throughout the world.
Yes.
Not
yes.
the prayer.
Right.
Because the prayer is judgment.
Mm-hmm. Or as I called it, prayer is petitioning God. Meditation is being quiet long enough to let him respond to you.
Exactly.
You know, I mean, do we think God is deaf? That you got to keep asking. If you talk louder, does a deaf person hear?
No. But you know what? You work on your own stuff and you get to a place of peacefulness, and
yes.
that deaf person will feel the serenity.
Yes, and they will hear.
They will hear the serenity.
And do you realize there's a program called there's a program to teach blind people to see? And do you know, I mentioned that one time to someone, and to a doctor, as a matter of fact.
Uh-huh.
And he looked at me, and he said, they've learned to see. I said, yes, they learned to see through using the skin, through using the third eye, and eventually they can see, maybe not as clearly as 20/20, but they can see to distinguish colors and shapes. They know where they're going. They don't need to be guided. They can sense objects.
Absolutely.
They can use their electromagnetic, your energy field.
Absolutely.
To see. And you know what he said?
What?
You're going to love this. He said, what good does it do to teach blind people to see? I mean, there are a few times in my life when I have been what I call nonplussed. And I must have been gape-jawed at that one. Because I looked at him and I took a deep breath and I said, they could see?
That's fantastic. That's fantastic.
Isn't that a great story?
So funny. That's a great story. That's a great story because what it really shows me is just how much we don't think. You know, we don't think about all the
right.
different, you know, things taking place in our life and how
yes.
we're making statements about other people. And
yes.
we're not even looking at what is right
yes.
for them.
Yes.
I mean, we're caught up in our own belief systems. And,
yes.
you know, beliefs can be so powerful, and yet they can be so incredibly limiting.
Well, crippling.
Well,
actually crippling in some areas.
Very, very. Well, in all areas.
Yes.
In all areas, because
okay.
the belief really has to stay focused
mm-hmm.
on yourself. You know, what is it you believe? And understanding that your belief shouldn't go any, you know, even a millimeter outside of yourself.
Right.
That whatever you believe is personally yours.
Absolutely.
And I think it's the same with ethics, with morality,
yes.
integrity.
Yes.
You have to understand what yours is.
Yes.
To understand you. And it doesn't matter about anybody else.
Can I quote another great person on this one?
Sure.
Shakespeare.
Yeah.
To thine own self be true.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
it shall follow as night doth the day.
Yeah.
Thou canst be false to no man.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
that is so true.
It's so true. It's just, it's incredibly important. You know, I just returned from a trip to Istanbul.
I was mentioning that to Don.
Yeah. I did some teaching in Istanbul. And just, boy, you know, for a country that has so much civilization history.
Yes.
There was a serenity there that
was
just profound. I mean, considering it borders Iraq and Iran.
Right.
And, you know, there's a lot of turmoil in that part
Absolutely.
Of the world.
Absolutely.
And in Turkey also.
Yes.
But, oh, my goodness, Phyllis, it felt incredible. And when you got beyond the belief that, you know, of what you've been taught,
yes.
it really was amazing. It just really was amazing.
Yes, I worked for a Turkish gentleman once. He was the crown prince.
Uh-huh.
You know, they would no longer have a monarchy, but I worked for him when I worked for the embassy, well, longer than I care to admit.
Uh-huh. Sure.
For a lifetime where I breathed the same air as I do now.
Right,
anyway,
right.
he was one of the most courteous,
yes.
gentlemanly,
yeah.
put together human beings I have ever met.
Right.
And there was within him a nobility and a serenity that you knew this man had presence and essence, and there was something kingly about him.
Yes.
And, you know, you could walk anywhere, as far as I'm concerned, and you would know this man was born to be a king.
Yes.
Because of the way he just was as a person.
Yes. Yes. Absolutely.
Super special person.
Yeah. It's really getting, you know, we have so much judgment in what
yes.
we're taught, and it doesn't really seem to matter to me whether or not we're talking about judgment with, you know, judgment in terms of being taught at school.
Right.
Or judgment being taught in spirituality.
Exactly.
You know, when you look at the big picture of spirituality, what most people are taught is incredibly judgmental.
Very much so, I'm afraid.
You know,
yes.
it's fear-based, and it's
yes.
judgmental.
And
if
it's
I
also,
can,
as
yeah.
you said, I'm better than you, or my religion is better than
oh,
your religion.
Oh, absolutely. Or my spiritual belief is better than yours.
Yes, yes.
You
if
know,
God's
Reiki is better
to
than
heaven,
healing
to go to hell in a handbasket.
Exactly. Exactly. So it's all the teaching that
yes.
is being taught out there and by the very practitioners who really should know better.
I know. Claim to spirituality, but
exactly,
indeed.
But don't live it.
Yes, yes.
And so I'm reprimanding them right now.
Thank you.
Anybody listening right now, stop and think about what you're teaching.
Yes.
Because all your, you know, we've all got toolboxes, Phyllis. And
oh, yes.
that's the cool thing is we all have our particular gifts, and
right.
and one is not better than the other.
No.
And so if somebody comes to me and they need a half-inch wrench and I've got one, then I will be able to, you know, help them out.
Right.
But if they need a quarter-inch wrench and I don't have one in my toolbox, they need to go to somebody else.
Right.
Because we're back to frequency.
Yes.
You know,
I agree.
We're simply back to frequency. And if I've got the frequency that can help, then I'll help. And if I don't have the frequency to help, then I won't be able to. And
right.
I think it's teachers being true and understanding that theirs is not the only way.
Well, that's true because no one is at the same level. I think what someone read, and I'm not sure whether it was Edgar Cayce or not, but he said one of the reasons that Christ was such a wonderful teacher
uh-huh.
was that he met each person where they were.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
And went from there.
And didn't ask them to come to
no,
him at
no,
his
he
level.
No, he did not.
Yeah.
He met them where they were, and that was the magic and the
yes.
secret of his teaching.
Yes, absolutely.
And so many people don't understand that. It's either believe the way I do or I'm going to bop you on the head. You know?
Or I'm going to make a judgment that you're crazy.
Yes. Oh,
you
that's,
know?
Or you're I like this even better, evil.
Evil.
I remember I just got a call not too long ago, and this person who, by the way, admitted to being a drug addict, wanted
uh-huh.
to come in, talked to somebody, and apparently called me back. And he had told me that he needed to be helped this way, and he wanted to get off drugs and this and that. And I said, fine, come in. And then somebody talked to him, and he says, well, it's against my religion. And I hear this person hissing at him in the background.
Yeah.
I said, what's against your religion? Well, hypnotherapy.
Right.
Why?
Right.
Why is it? He says it's of the devil. And I said, really? And he said, yes. And I said, and who tells you this? And then there was this hissing in the background. But tell her it's in the Bible. And I said, no, they don't mention hypnotherapy in the Bible. I'm quite sure of it. I've read it cover to cover many times. So,
and
he's saying, well, it's evil and you're a witch.
Yeah.
And I almost said, if you want to see the face of evil, please turn around to the person who's hissing in your ear and gaze upon it.
Well, I mean,
but I didn't because, you know, you don't, it wouldn't have been a proper.
Right.
But I just said, well, good Lord, my child, I would not want you to consort with evil. You know, blessings upon you. Bye.
Well, I mean, this is the thing, and this is what's important, because biblical, you know, so many people will head off to the whole biblical aspect of what
oh.
they're reading in the Bible and their
yes.
interpretation of it.
Right.
And so people have Jesus doing, you know, many different things according to what their belief system is going to be in
sure.
the current moment.
Sure.
And I think that's why mm-hmm. teaching in terms of biblical teaching has become so important, is to get people to understand their own personal relationship.
Right.
And to be able to take scripture and discuss it intelligently,
yes.
and be able to make a decision about how it means for them personally.
Exactly.
And the thing is, it's not about what it means for the congregation.
No.
And I think that a lot of times we get to a point where, you know, people attend their Sunday services,
right.
and they get, you know, they adore their pastor and priest, and that's wonderful.
Yes.
But they become so enamored and stop thinking that the priest is also giving his interpretation
exactly.
of the Bible.
Exactly.
And so, you know, all the priest can do is take from what he's been taught
right.
and pass it on to the congregation.
Exactly.
And people want to stop thinking. They want to stop thinking for themselves, and
yes.
they just want to be told how they should react and how they should respond. And so what we've got on our hands is we've
mm-hmm.
got a world right now of individuals who won't think for themselves.
And, don't
and they follow the Bible, or they follow the Quran, or
yep.
they follow with whatever they want, or
and
they become atheists.
Do not take personal responsibility?
No personal responsibility.
Yeah, I had a theological discussion on an airplane once. It's amazing what you can get into when there's no place to run.
yeah, you have no place to run on the airplane.
Yeah, well, you know, the step down was real far at that point. Anyway,
yeah.
We were talking, and he was saying, well, you know, that he was a philosopher, and by his own admission, he said he was one of the best and most regarded Catholic philosophers, theologians, I should say, in the United
Catholic?
States.
Okay,
yeah, Catholic
theologian.
Yeah, he was a priest. And so we're talking, and I said, you know, I was telling, sharing some of my beliefs about the differences of the spirituality, and he said, well, when you die, he said, well, that's not what the church teaches. You should believe this. And I said, I'll tell you what. Can you guarantee me that at the moment of my death, you will be there beside me? And when I am questioned about my beliefs, you will step forward and say, I told her to say this and believe this, and I accept any responsibility if it's an error. And there was this dead silence. And he said, no, of course not.
I wonder why.
And I said, really? I said, you are willing to tell me that this is what I should believe, but you don't believe it strongly enough that you are willing to commit yourself to your belief before God Almighty in case there's an error. And I said, well, say, I guess that's the difference because, sir, whatever I would tell you, if I would tell you, and I believed it to be true, I would say, and if you are willing to stand before God, I will stand there with you at that time and accept responsibility for what I told you. If I am in error, I would like to accept responsibility for it before God.
Did this man get up and change seats?
No.
Right.
He was
oh
absolutely fascinated.
Oh, my goodness.
He never
oh
met
goodness.
Somebody.
Right.
A woman.
Exactly.
Remember, it's a woman.
Well, you know, I mean, the thing that I think we really have to get away from, especially in, you know, I know that I do a lot of sermons in Unity
yep.
churches and Science of Mind churches. And,
yes.
And I know that you do also. And I think that one of the things we have to get away from, especially as, you know, ministers or individuals
yes.
who are going to go preach that sermon, is to go ahead and again, take personal responsibility for what you're up there,
yes,
you
saying.
Know, and saying,
yes.
but also to start cutting back because, you know, in terms of the judgment calls. I mean, the thing
Let me
about
explain
the Unity
something.
Church.
I've never given a sermon in a church, so I would love to be honored that
oh,
way.
Oh, my goodness.
Day.
You know, the first time I got up to the pulpit, I gave my first sermon in Naples, Florida. And I got up to the pulpit, and I've been a professional, you know,
right,
speaker for 20 years.
Right.
I cried. I just cried like a baby. I just stood up there at the pulpit, like, oh, my goodness. You know, and just go into tears. But one of the things that bothered me when I was doing a lot of the different work, one of the things that really bothered me was the whole aspect of how much so many of the ministers in Unity and Science of Mind just really downplayed other religions and other beliefs.
Really?
Oh,
I
absolutely.
I was not aware of that.
I mean, the Catholic Church has taken the brunt. I mean, it really has.
Uh-huh.
And I think that until people are willing to get out of that and understand that we're all in an evolutionary process, Okay. And souls are going.
Yeah, I think that means somebody wants to break in.
Okay.
Good evening. Welcome to our show. Who's calling? I don't see anybody on the line. Do you?
We have a caller.
Is there a caller? No, I guess not. I'm sorry.
Okay.
We just keep going.
So anyways, I mean, it comes right back to how we started the show out of just, stopping the judgment calls and just being able to go in and take personal responsibility, because it doesn't matter what your neighbor's doing.
Yes.
It just doesn't matter what your neighbor's doing. And if your neighbor is not feeling well, then take them some casserole, but don't pray. You know, don't pray and say, "Dear Lord, please, make them feel better." Because in essence, what you're saying is, God, you're not paying attention over here, and I need you to focus.
Hello, wave a handkerchief. Anyway, no, what I was saying too is, we need to also use common sense here too, ladies and gentlemen. This means to when you have a business that you're running, that doesn't mean that you don't manage, and that you don't use the brain that you have to see whether or not you have the proper employee or anything like that. Am I correct?
Absolutely.
We need to say that you use judgment appropriate to the forum in which you are at the time.
Absolutely.
Being
spiritual,
yes.
I mean, being a true servant of God, Goddess, Creator, whatever you want to label it.
Right.
Being a servant doesn't mean that you lost your brains.
Thank you.
You know? What it means is that you can have an articulate conversation and being able to converse and be a manager and being an employer and still be incredibly loving and non-judgmental to your employees. There's absolutely nothing that can't be said in a loving manner.
Exactly.
And I think it's getting out of ego and it's getting out of the arrogance to sit down and take your emotion out of it. You know, it's people get in the workplace and they start to say, I don't like this person. And then pretty soon it's like, you see what she's wearing today? And, oh, my goodness. And, his life is in chaos. And, this person's being, unfaithful. And you start the gossip and people start talking about each other. And what I want people to get away from is to be able to look at this person as their peer. I mean, as a soul, they're peers.
Yes.
And take our humanness out of it, because as a peer, they came from exactly the same place at exactly the same time. God has blessed them as much as you've been blessed, and take your personal humanness out of it. And once you do that in the workplace, then you find the friction just lessens completely, because you're not judging their humanness. You're accepting that they're your equal, but you may just have different lines of thoughts on what needs to be done.
Well, that sort of impacts on what I went through today.
I was going to say, that's probably what you went through today.
And because what I said was that I did not think two queen bees could live in the same hive.
Well, two queen bees can live in the same hive if they stop thinking of themselves as a queen bee and
one of the queen bees didn't like it, so the other queen bee had to leave.
Well, I mean, this is what happens, and it's where we get into in life is that things are going to happen externally to us.
Absolutely.
We're going to meet people that we like or we don't like, and we're going to get in work situations that are comfortable and not comfortable.
Right.
But the thing is, when something ends, you get fired, you get reassigned, you get promoted, it's all about the experience. It's not about the event itself. And again, it's putting whatever emotion it is to the event at that time.
Right.
And so, I always like to teach that, let's say that a woman decides to take a job, and leave New York and fly to L.A. and take a job, and her parents and her siblings and all of her friends are totally against it.
Right.
Absolutely against it. It's the worst thing you could ever do,
right.
And they just caution her not to, not to go.
Yeah.
And let's say she just goes anyways, and she reports for work the first day, and she's walking across the street to get into her new office building. She gets hit by a car and becomes quadriplegic. Now, the family and the friends and everyone's going to be going, "Oh, I told you so. I told you it was the worst thing for you." But what people forget is That incident itself could have been the greatest learning lesson that her soul would ever be able to experience.
Yes.
So, again, it's going back to what are we viewing in terms of life and how are we viewing the life?
Well, you know, I had much the same question in a job that I had. And from the very beginning, I didn't think I would be longer than, say, 2 to 3 months. And I never really connected with the facility, okay?
Uh-huh.
Every day I left, it was like it would have been my last day. I didn't leave anything personal there. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
There was not a part. And yet I participated fully to the best of my ability. And the situation came to pass that it ended. And it was ended because a reason was found. Granted, an error had been made, but it was not a fatal error, if that makes sense.
Right.
But it was utilized in a way.
Right.
And the lesson I had asked myself earlier was, what I was here to learn a lesson, and I was scratching my head, what the hell was the lesson?
And
I figured sooner or later,
and
the light will dawn. You know, somebody will flip the switch, and the light bulb will not pop. And earlier this week, I said, oh, that's what I was learning. 3 days later, I find myself looking for another situation. Do you know I've had 2 different offers and 1 semi-firm offer within less than an hour?
Yeah, absolutely.
At a much nicer place.
I mean, once we've learned the lesson,
I don't have to stay in it.
You don't have to stay in it. And that's true for every single one of us. If we find ourselves repeating the same lesson, I mean,
mm-hmm.
that's
that
the thing about relationships.
We haven't got it.
We haven't got it. And
we haven't
so
got
if
it
you
yet.
Find yourself, you know, you think that your job situation's totally different or the relationship's different, and you get into it 3 months down the road, and you realize that there's some of the same pattern,
then
you really have to sit back and go, whoa, I didn't learn this lesson.
Right. Apparently not.
because it's going to come back and bite and bite and bite. And,
that's
you know, true. I think people who, you know, leave marriages because it's better on the other side or whatever they're thinking, and if they haven't learned what they needed to learn from the marriage, then they're going to find themselves recreating
another
the
marriage,
same situation.
Very similar. You got
absolutely.
It.
Absolutely. And, you know, as hypnotherapists, we can look at, you know, how many people do we have coming into our office who are in exactly that boat, who are repeating patterns.
And trying to get people to understand that, I think that one of the most wonderful things that we can do as healers is to help people heal themselves. When we come into it, oh, you can do this. I said, I can't do anything.
Right.
I said, I'm here because, number one, it's the kind of job where I can sit on my buns and let my jaws work. I can make money and not put sweat out. And I said, and I do good. And
right.
you do all the work, and you get to pay me for doing all the work.
Exactly.
And they look at me. I don't think they have too many healers that say, you do the work, I sit here, cross my legs, and take your check.
That's exactly right. You know, just pay me when you walk out the door because I'm going to sit here and I'm going to listen.
Uh-huh.
But it's typically the individual who's doing the talking.
And,
you know, the person who's coming in, they need to verbalize it.
And I just say to them, you tell me what your higher self is telling you to tell me.
Right, exactly. Exactly.
And I
exactly.
keep saying, all the answers are in you. You just don't realize it. And my job, if there is a job here, is to simply, you know, turn on the light and say, you can do it yourself.
Right.
All
exactly.
that you need exists within you. I'm just a facilitator. I'll just stand by the side of the road and hold the sign and go that way.
Exactly.
You know?
Exactly. That's about what it comes down to, doesn't it?
Isn't it fun?
Yeah,
though?
it really is.
And,
yeah.
I'd like our listeners to call in. You know, we're chatting. I'm learning so much. Whenever I talk to Patty, my soul is lifted. She's a very, very special lady. Would you like to leave some contact information before we get too further into the hour, my dear?
Contact information, folks can go to the website at pattyconklin.com, and Patty's with an I, and or they can call toll-free within the United States at 888-376-3301, and outside of the country, they can call 770-979-8047.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
Okay. And Patty gives lectures. She does cellular healings. She's just a wonderful source of energy. And she is so at home in her own skin. I first met her, I guess, I think I told you 10 years ago.
Yeah.
And we connected, and I don't know if you remembered me or not.
No, but I think I met you in Virginia Beach about 10 years ago.
Yeah. Yes, you did.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's where it was.
Yep.
Long time ago.
Wow.
And you did soul retrieval on me then.
Did I?
Yes.
Okay, I'm glad you remember.
Big, because it was amazing how I felt myself coming back together. And that was 11 years ago, darling.
Oh, wow. Wow.
Yeah. See, I remember.
That's wonderful.
You know, I'm like sort of like an elephant, good for me.
Oh, that's always a nice feeling.
Yes, and it was very powerful, and it was very, very helpful because one of the steps along the way to help me to look more into myself, along with some very, very beautiful friends that I have as well, and who were with me through thick and thin. So,
wonderful.
You know, I can say from experience that Patty is wonderful and she delivers.
Aww. That's very, very generous of you. Thank you.
I appreciate that. And you have your own radio show, you said.
I do have my own radio show. I've got a radio show the first Wednesday of each month, and it's Ask Patty Live. And people can call in from all over the world or send in emails and ask questions about their personal life or their spiritual life or the chaos in the world or the peace in the world. Every topic is open.
Okay.
And believe me, we explore every single topic. Sometimes I blush a little bit when I read those emails, but, you know, it's pretty fantastic, and I really appreciate people tuning in.
Well, you're certainly welcome to tune into her show, you know, I'm so glad that you are available, and I'm so honored you were able to come to tonight, because I know how busy your schedule is, and I've been chasing you a little bit.
Well, your monthly phone calls of when I was going to be on your radio show was definitely getting through, Phyllis.
Was it really?
And it was.
I am a good saleswoman.
You are a good saleswoman, and you stay focused. So no, it was a real treat to be on the show. And
thank you. Well, we still have a little time left, but I just wanted to let you know that you had time to speak about it and to let your heart sing out. I find it's gotten to the point. So many people tell me they spend so much time preparing for this, that, or the other thing, and I find that when I just trust in God or Providence or Spirit or whatever, that when I get on the show, Spirit will pick up the slack and lead me where I need to go, where
Absolutely.
We answer questions, because often I'll get a feedback from someone, I was thinking about that, or I wondered about that, or it touched my life, and that's what I'm here for, to serve.
Yeah, absolutely, and you do it so well.
Well,
I mean, you do it so well, and you follow, you know, you follow your guidance, and you follow Spirit, and you really move forward with what you feel needs to be done. And I think that, you know, the listening body, if you want my last 2 cents here before we end the show, you know, I think it's coming back to the whole aspect of the unconditional and really understanding that we're simply particles that are vibrating, and that's it. And everything else and meaning to life is what we give it. And I'm going to say one more time, because I think it's so important, that, you know, life is meaningless. It's just meaningless. When God gave us life, He didn't give us meaning to life. And so every event we're having, we're choosing the meaning to life. And because we're choosing it, we have to take responsibility for how we're responding. And, you know, it's looking at that shit effect. You know, shit happens, and that's what we were talking about earlier. And, you know, every single one of us has it. But if you spell out shit, you've got a spiritual human in transition. You've got someone who's simply growing. And it's the way God helps us grow, is by giving us those challenges that we have to face, because it's what takes us deeper inside of ourselves to really look at who we are as an individual.
And when you take, I'm going to ask you to watch a word here, God gives us. How would I say it differently, that God allows us to have these challenges in our lives?
God, you know, God welcomes these challenges, because God's not sitting up on a golden throne going, Oh, man, you so need a lesson today. And I'm just going to throw the crap at you today to get you to listen. My belief is in God's world, in God looking at us as his children.
Yes.
He's allowing us the courtesy to learn.
Exactly. That's what I believe it is.
Yeah.
He doesn't give these things to us.
Give us the events. We create the events ourselves
because
of our humanness.
Exactly. That's what I'm trying to say, because people say, oh, then God is doing this to us. You know, God created me blind because he thought I'd get in trouble if I wasn't blind or I needed to learn something.
No. I spent all day today at Shepherd Rehabilitation Center where they treat spinal cord injuries. And I heard that a lot today, and there was actually someone there who had seen my website and had come up and asked me to talk to her son. And, you know, and she was just saying, you know, I know that God has done this to him and, you know, that he's going to be growing from it. And I just kind of looked at her and I said, well, he's the one that made the decision to get up on the motorcycle and go out and hit the trail. And he's the one who actively made a decision to do something without wearing a helmet.
Right. Exactly.
But the thing is, he was going to learn the lesson that has been set out, but he's got 100,000 different opportunities of what he chooses.
Right.
The lesson to be, or not the lesson to be, but the actual event itself to be in order to learn that lesson.
Exactly.
And so that's where it comes back to personal responsibility.
Exactly.
It comes back to personal responsibility. And you know, I know people get upset about the war, and they get upset about the chaos in the world. But again, clean your own house. Stop
worrying
about somebody else's house.
And they talk about babies being injured and so forth, and this couldn't possibly what God means. So how do you deal with them when they bring something of this nature?
Well, I think when a baby is injured or a baby dies or a baby becomes very ill, you know, people reach into, you know, this isn't, you know, either Satan's involved or this isn't what God was asking and why is this happening? And, and I think what you need to remember is that baby is your spiritual peer. That baby, in terms of God's world, is your equal.
It's powerful.
It's powerful. It's incredibly powerful. And it in itself is going through the learning lesson.
Yes. Well, this is kind of what I feel, that we choose the lives into which we are born. And the lessons we choose, while they may not make logical sense to us, to me, eventually, if you stop long enough yelping and howling and running your mouth, the answer comes. You know, it does come.
Yeah.
And it's our own emotional input that causes the pain.
It's definitely our own emotional input. And we're the ones that have to sit back and go, you know what, this is not an aspect that needs to be taken personally.
Right.
You know, because that's what we misinterpret.
Even the pain that we have has a basis for teaching.
Everything.
Even
we don't grow when we're happy.
Yes. Yes.
We don't grow. We don't sit back and cry and think about our life and go, how am I going to make my life better? I feel bad that I treated this person this way, or I'm feeling sad about what's happened here.
Mm-hmm.
How do I make my life better? And when we're happy, we don't stop to think about it.
That's very true. We go along, as I call it, sad, dumb, and happy.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And having a little weight is not a bad thing.
Absolutely not. I mean, again, it's a matter of perception. And, you know, again, we start paying attention to what other people feel. You know, we feel a woman should be a size, you know, -2, or a woman should be a size 10, or, you know.
Whatever,
whatever it is. And the thing is, we really start creating issues. You know, a sexy woman is a sexy woman because she's comfortable with herself.
I was just going to say because she's comfortable in her own skin.
Exactly. And the same thing with a guy. I mean, but we, again, set up the judgment pattern. We set up the belief patterns, and we set up the judgment patterns, and then we start teaching it to our children.
Right.
And it becomes this box that we can't get out of. And as a society, we become part of that box. And I think that it's really people understanding, what is your box? You know, how have you limited yourself with your belief systems?
Mm-hmm.
How have you limited your inability to grow because you have such a limited belief system? And most people don't even understand that they have a limited belief system.
Well, yes.
You know?
We do.
And so it's taking them outside. And it's one of the things I love about the teaching. You know, I love shocking people. I love getting a room full of people. And I know you've seen that before.
Uh-huh.
But I love to get in front of a room full of people, and I love to get in their face, and I love to challenge them and shock them into thought. Sometimes people, you know, get incredibly outraged and just think that, you know, I'm being too blunt. And some people really sit back and start viewing their life. But it's how I teach.
Uh-huh.
You know, if you don't want to hear the plain truth, then you need to get up and go to the door, because you may not like what you hear, but you'll hear what you need to hear, not what you want to hear.
That's the other thing too. There are I was reading the Bible a number of times, and I was reading again, and all of a sudden I realized that different passages struck me as I reread over the years.
Uh-huh.
It would strike me, and I had a depth of meaning to it, and I'd, you know, read the Bible again, and I get to that passage, and I say, oh boy, and I thought, now how did I get that out of that particular passage?
Right.
It's changed.
Yeah. Well, it changed because your thought process changed.
Yes.
You know, sometimes I just sit down with my Bible and I just reread some of my favorite passages, and
exactly.
I'm like, whoa, I didn't think the same way about this last year. You know, I'm looking at this now, and it's just like a totally different thing.
Exactly. That's what surprised me. So I knew that that is the spirit within. When you can read something, and each time you gain something new out of it,
right,
you know it's truth.
Right, exactly.
Because it reaches, and that you've grown.
Exactly, that you've grown. And I mean, how much more wonderful is life?
Precise. I had so much fun with this.
How much more wonderful is life when I sit back and go, oh my goodness, I'm thinking totally different than where I was a year ago. And it's wonderful.
I remember where you were 10 years ago and your thinking and how much you've grown since then.
I'm sure I have. I'm sure I have, and yeah, you're right. Somebody who listened to me 10 years ago would sit back and go, whoa, you know, because it's the growth, and I make no apologies for that. Boy, I don't want to be teaching the same stuff 20 years
from
now.
Oh, it's so boring. That's why teachers fail to be good.
Exactly.
And there's something else, too, that I wanted you to know, but you probably know, is that a good teacher is one who, when she teaches, a part of her own being goes into or transfers to the people she's teaching.
Yes.
So you're not just saying words.
Right.
You are also exchanging and presenting energy.
Exactly.
And there was a study done recently of the kids who were studying with the computers. They had all these games and this and that, and they expected all of the children's scores in math and reading to go sky high, and they found almost no change at all.
Wow.
There was no discernible difference.
Right.
And I thought, because they took out the human elements.
Exactly.
And I don't know if you've ever heard this, but my mother told me that one reason why older people always touched young children on the head, because when they touched them, the wisdom and knowledge of the old elder
absolutely passed on
through their hand.
Yeah.
Into the child, providing wisdom and knowledge and understanding. Isn't that a beautiful thought?
That is so beautiful. That is so beautiful. And
would you
so
agree
true.
With something like that?
It's that's beautiful. That's beautiful. And you know, I think it says it all. I think it says it all of just, you know, we teach best when we get out of our own way.
Yes.
And we get beyond. And I think that's why the elders always came back with questions.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a child asks a question, the elder comes back with a response and a question.
Exactly.
Is, you know, yes, you know, I could tell you the answer to this, but I want you to think it out yourself. So,
I love it.
Yeah.
We are having
beautiful.
So much fun. Coming down to the wire, I can tell, but still, we haven't been given we haven't been given the buzzer. And I don't see the cane sneaking out from the wings.
Don hasn't terminated the
conversation.
The conversation yet. Well, you know, I think that yes. You know, Phyllis, one of the wonderful things that you're offering to people and everyone you connect with is just being able to be you and be real and just teach according to what you know and what you're learning. And that's a beautiful, you know, that's a beautiful process and something beautiful that you're able to give to all of your listeners and the people that you're interacting with every day. Because remember, it doesn't matter whether we're a minister or whether we're a hypnotherapist,
right,
or whether, you know, we're an MD or whether we're a housewife. Every single person we're coming in contact with, we're touching.
Yes.
And it doesn't, you know, you don't need to be a great master in order to be able to give wisdom. What you need to be able to do is get out of your own way and not be in judgment so that the information that you're giving, people can discern whether or not it's their truth. And if it's not their truth, then that's wonderful. They'll find the teacher that can provide
yes.
their personal truth.
Exactly. I think part of what I want to do when I talk to people is to open up new windows and doors.
Right.
To me, it's
right.
like, if I can tell you something that will make you look at something different.
Right, exactly.
Then I'm doing what a teacher should do.
Exactly, yeah. Not an agreement, just
no.
Just personal. Yeah.
And it's okay to say, oh, I disagree with you. I think that's wrong, wrong, wrong. And
right.
that's okay.
Exactly.
For you, it may be wrong.
Sure, because you're not judging them
no.
in terms of whether or not they've agreed.
And it doesn't hurt me if you don't believe what I believe in.
Exactly. Well, that's where people need to get out of their own stuff.
Now, was that our buzzer to say goodnight?
I think that was our buzzer.
Or was that somebody calling in? Uh-huh. I think it's our buzzer to say goodnight.
Okay.
All right.
Well
thank you so much.
You're so welcome. Thank
and
you
I am so
much.
Looking forward to talking to you again, perhaps in another month, if I may.
I would love to.
Not necessarily in the radio, but
okay.
otherwise.
It sounds great, Phyllis.
Thank you.
Good night.
Blessings, and I will talk to you. And thank you all so very much for listening to The Higher Dimensions. I'm Phyllis Pricer on BBS Radio, and we'll be talking to you again next week. Thank you, and good night.